time for our call to worship. Will you please stand? And the worship is from Psalms 107, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city in which to dwell.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them.
Then, in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way until they reached a city in which to dwell.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
For the Lord satisfies those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Whoever is wise, give heed to these things. Consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord, who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return to them, I will return them to their homes, says the Lord.
We're good Methodists today. Oh, yay. Oh, good. We got lots of friends. This is good. This is real good. Come on, Ileana. We got plenty for you, too. All right. Okay, so today I want to talk about a word. You don't mind me eating while I'm doing it, do you? Okay. The word I want to talk about is called greed. But you might know it better as being selfish. Or selfish, I should say. Anybody know what that word means? Do you know what that word means? Can I give you a hint? I'm being kind of selfish right now. How am I being selfish?
Hoarding things?
Hoarding things? I am kind of hoarding some things, yeah. But what am I doing? I'm eating it, is right, but how is that selfish? Excuse me, why I'm blowing apples, I'm being rude now.
Because you're not offering us any.
Excellent, Jack. I'm not offering. So I'm selfish because I'm keeping it to myself, right? I'm not being nice by saying, hey, do you guys want a piece of apple? That's what people do. You got your own crackers? That's a smart girl right there. Bring your own food. That when you mess with selfish people, you don't have to worry about it. Right? So today, the gospel reading that Pastor Zach is going to do, Jesus talks about greed. Now, I won't go all into it because it's pretty detailed, and I want to leave the surprise for him. But Jesus doesn't like it when we're greedy. He doesn't like it when we're selfish. He would not be very happy that I am not sharing with you. And there's a reason why we share. Jesus is a pretty cool guy, and we all know that, right? We agree with that? But when they made our bodies, when God and made our bodies, when we share things, something really cool happens to us. Do you know what that is? What is it, Ileana? It's something that happens to your face. What happens to your face when you share? Something happens. Do you know? Ella, you smile and you give it away. Because when I smile, it's kind of hard not to smile back, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus did that on purpose. That way we connect to each other. So sharing is something we got to do. It is. It's really important to do that. So I'm going to quit being selfish, although this is a very good apple. And I want to share some apple with you. But I also have some other treats to send. Don't you just love her? She's so awesome. So I need somebody to hold the microphone because I need both my hands. Jack, can I trust you? Okay.
I'm not very grateful.
The New Testament reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things, like anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to them, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. So ends the reading.
Brothers and sisters, this is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are here with open hands and open hearts and open minds and open doors. Holy Spirit, come and teach us what it means to be generous and rich toward God. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Be on your guard. We hear that in our culture. We're told to be afraid of things by the mass media, to be on guard of our neighbors who aren't like us, or who do things a little differently, or worship in a different way. We're taught in today's culture to be suspicious of one another, to be fearful, to be self-protective. And it continues to divide us. But Jesus was warning us of a different enemy, a real enemy. He says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Greed. And we know from experience in our nation, during times of economic prosperity and booming business, that is when greed snuck in and caught us unaware, that we lost our guard. We became complacent when we had all the stuff we need and our stocks were going up and our retirement was going up. And meanwhile, CEOs were conspiring and embezzling millions of dollars, like the Enron scandal. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And we like to think of greed as just being in a corporate or an economic sense, right? I mean, who would have thought that we would have had some of the public figures we have right now? And how greed and wealth building and the rules don't apply because I'm one of the one percenters. There's a lot of divisive rhetoric. But Jesus warned us to be on our guard against all kinds of greed. That greed is not just green, the color of money. But greed was so much more. It was a wrong orientation. Because God looks at our hearts, amen? He knows us. He knows our intentions. He knows what we're capable of. And Jesus is God in the flesh. So he was looking around at the people in his midst and was warning them and speaking the truth in love, saying, watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I want to pause for a moment, because when we read the Bible, there's always a before and an after in the text, unless it's the very beginning or the very end. And before this, at the beginning of chapter 12, the crowd's gathering by the thousands, and they're trampling on each other. And Jesus begins to speak to his disciples, and he warns them. He said, we just said, be on guard against all kinds of greed. But before this, he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And what is that yeast? He says, their hypocrisy. Now, how many of you like hypocrites? How many of you think that some of our leaders are hypocrites? How many of you are hypocrites? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, that is of hypocrisy. And what Jesus is going to do, he warns them, he says, nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. So insider trading, that will become known. Marking the wrong number on your taxes, eventually that'll be known. Withholding from the offering plate, that'll be known. not giving to your neighbor who's in need, that will be known. And Jesus goes on to say now, later on, he talks about verse 12. He says, the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour. And I pray that that's for us today, that in this very hour where we are learning today about what it means to be greedy and what greed actually is, that the Holy Spirit will teach us what we are to say to ourselves and to our neighbors. So we come, and Jesus, he's talking about this fearful confession. And he's saying, whoever acknowledges me before others, in verse 8, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. I wanted to share this verse. It wasn't in a reading, but it brought conviction to me this week. Because we as a church council, we met and we started to discern three strategic goals or focuses for this coming year. And we thought that they were great. We thought that they would point people to Christ. But as I went back and was studying for this sermon and looking at the text around our reading today and after, I realized that unintentionally I might have been greedy in these goals with the council. Because while I was focused on Christ, I was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I was taking confidence in what we've been given and that we can run with this and we can do this in the way I was going about it. But I wasn't relying on the Holy Spirit in the way that I normally do. I was being greedy with what God had given me, and I wasn't being rich toward God, that is, open and willing to receive what God was going to give us through the Holy Spirit to lead us toward those goals. And I don't think we need to scrap those goals that we were working on. I just think that we need to begin with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what allowed Jesus to preach good news for the poor. The Holy Spirit was what made him merciful and compassionate, as we've learned. The Holy Spirit is what allows us to be a good, merciful neighbor. The Holy Spirit. So that's where I'm at today as I come looking at this. That sometimes I can have a spiritual greed. That I can be greedy for the things of God, but taking them and using them as a means to an end that's not God, or is something good, but it might be for God. But I realize that I need the Holy Spirit to help me to be generous and to receive more of who God is and more of God's direction for my life. So I realized this week that greed is not just material, that greed can be spiritual. Greed is an orientation of our heart that is twisted. And so let's come to this where someone in the crowd challenges Jesus. Turn to your Bibles to Luke 12, 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." In other words, if you're staking your life on an inheritance, you're finding your security in something that's not God. And you're going to set yourself up for disappointment. He told them a parable. He says, "The land of the rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.'" He says, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Now, how many of you are farmers or no farmers? Farmers are stewards, right? Farmers might have the deed to the land, but farmers are stewards. God is the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is the one who has given us this earth to take care of. And farmers know that they can do everything they can, use all the technology, all the best practices, but they are dependent on things beyond their control. essentially, they are dependent on God and God's control of our weather and our climate. So he's a fool to begin with in his thinking. And then he says this, verse 18, he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. So he's reappropriating not just grain storage, but somewhere to store his stuff. Verse 19, he says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. In all this self-dialogue, who's missing from the conversation? God. God is missing from the conversation. And how many times in our lives when we experience abundance do we start to think that we have control over what we've been given? And who do we leave out of the conversation usually? God. And then when we run out of things, who do we turn to in the conversation? God. But we should begin with God in our abundance because God is the source of our abundance. But this particular farmer is really selfish because he's only thinking about himself. That's what greed does. It orients us to ourselves. We are curved in on ourselves. And here comes the kicker, verse 20. But God said, and I wonder, I know this is a parable, but God always speaks. Are we willing to listen? But God said, and maybe God had always been saying, you fool, this night your very life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. In our Sunday school class, the second commandment we learned was, do not make idols for yourselves. That when we are oriented and putting ourselves first and not God or not our neighbor, we are being greedy and closed-minded. And we are living in this lie of scarcity. And we're trying to find our security in ourselves and our own power. How many of you are as powerful as God? None of us, right? It's madness. But yet that's how we go about our daily lives. We make our decisions and we look at our checkbooks and we look at our time as if we are the master of our own domain. But when we are Christians, we are invited to experience the inbreaking kingdom of God, amen? A kingdom of God that comes with preaching good news for the poor. Right? And we ourselves realize that we are poor in the spirit. And we need God to lead us. Because when we're left to our own devices, what happens? The wealthier get wealthy and the poor get poorer, right? I watched a great video by Rob Bell. Rob Bell, he's a pastor and he's now a kind of a spiritual kind of guru. He kind of took a different direction, but he was teaching about this disparity between the rich and the poor. And there was this study that he read where they tested every country that they had data for, including all 50 states of the United States, compared to the United States as a whole. And what they found was that as the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, the wider the gap is between rich and poor, the lower the life expectancy is for the rich, even for the 1%. And in the countries or even states or provinces that practice closing that gap, it increased their life expectancy. Because our possessions are not meant to be an end in themselves. Our possessions are meant to be opportunities to build relationships with others. As we talked about in our Sunday school class, it's not just don't steal, but it's about be generous. Go above and beyond. God has been so generous to give us all that we need. The least we can do is to be generous to others and especially generous to God, to be rich toward God. See, this farmer, when he had this bumper crop, he wanted to tear down his barns and build larger ones. Well, that would have taken time. That wouldn't have happened overnight. So that took away time that could have been spent towards more harvest and could have been spent towards helping the land and could have been, he could have taken all his grain to the market. That might have benefited everyone else in his community, other farmers. But instead, he is withholding in that economy because it was a peasant subsistence economy. In other words, everybody farmed just what they needed. There weren't these giant agribusiness like we see today. You had just enough to feed your family, essentially, and maybe to share with your neighbors. And so when he withheld that, he was robbing the hungry. Not just to store his grain, but to store his goods. His goods that he was gonna put in storage. How many of you have storage sheds? In the long term, look at your life. What happens with things that go in storage sheds? You got to deal with it later, right? It causes a whole bunch of time that you have to go through. And then you're going through these possessions and you try to get rid of things, right? And these memories come back because possessions are always connected to relationships. And that's why some people have trouble getting rid of things, whether it's an insecurity, they find security in their possessions, or when a loved one dies and you're going through their possessions, all these things remind you of your loved one and it's hard to get rid of them. But when we're generous with the possessions in the present, they become opportunities to bless people where we make new memories of how God was at work and how we realize that when we give ourselves away and we give to God as good stewards, and let's say these together, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. When we give of those to God, we bless others and we share the generous love of God with others. That when we receive God's love and we give it to others, we receive more God's love. We give of ourselves to share Christ with others so that we can experience more of Christ together. Because none of us have a relationship with Jesus figured out on our own. In fact, our relationship with Jesus is much more of a mystery and is much more fulfilling when we share him together. And we go beyond the walls of this church. Because our life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Friends, it consists in the abundance of God's grace. God's grace is what our life is to consist of. And God's grace is a gift that we cannot earn. God's grace is something that we cannot just take account of, but it takes account of us. God's grace is what we have been given. So I hope that we don't wake up in the middle of the night and hear God saying to us in our greed, "You fool! This night, your very life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Friends, how do you believe that we can be rich towards God? How can you be rich towards God? This is more than just giving more in an offering plate or increasing the amount in your checkbook. This is about giving of yourselves, not just with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, but it's about opening up to God and his possibilities of generosity. That we underestimate the ability we have to make an impact on our community with what we've been given. And that what we have in one another, in our relationships, and in the resources of this church is more than enough to share the love of Christ in new ways and to reach new people, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community. Amen? So we need to be on guard against all kinds of greed. Anything that causes us to be curved in on ourselves, anything that causes us to feel like we are not enough or to feel like we need more. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the spirit of generosity, to give us that peace that we can share together. And as we give of ourselves, we become larger people together. And while the rest of the world is thinking that things are going to hell in a handbasket and there's not enough to go around, we realize that in our community, we've been given more than enough. And that there's no reason someone should go hungry. And there's no reason that someone should be able to send their kid to school. And that there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to feed the kids during the summer when the school's out. So why don't we pray? Why don't we listen to God and seek him and ask him to show us what we need to be on guard against in our lives. What are these kinds of greed and selfish inclinations that God wants to reorient? And ask God to show you how we can be generous, not only as a church, but as families and neighbors. So let's go to the Lord and let's hear from him. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you have been generous to us and gracious to us, and that you've given us this joy and this sweet spirit of unity today. Thank you, God, that you are swelling our hearts with gratitude for what we have and who we are in Christ. And for the neighbors that you have given us to share the gospel with, to preach good news for the poor, and to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, to announce the year of your favor today in the present. And Father, I want to confess to you and thank you for your Holy Spirit that's given me conviction. God, I've been greedy in my ministry that I do too much, and I need to give more opportunities for other people to step up and to share their gifts and their abilities and to grow in their faith, that these are people in my midst who I can learn from and I can grow with. And that our church as a whole probably has more great ideas than I could ever muster on my own. So I ask, Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. And I ask, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So thank you, God. Thank you for the ways that we are going to be generous. And thank you for all that you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, may you freely give the love of Christ, both in your relationships and how you live with your neighbors, but also in the sharing of all that you have been given materially, so that you will proclaim good news for the poor in Jesus' name. Amen.